Hi there. We are so excited for our very first Future Ready Librarian webinar to kick off the new school year. And tonight we are going to talk about back to school with Future Ready Librarians, tips and tricks from a few. I'm really excited to be here with a few friends, but I want to introduce myself first. My name is Shannon McClintock Miller. I am teacher librarian at Van Meter Community School, and I work with innovation with our district, and I also serve as one of the Future Ready Librarian spokespersons, and I do this with my good friend and colleague, Mark Ray. You can find me on Twitter, and you can find my blog here, and also just my email. I'm always happy to help if you have any questions. Also, my friend and writing partner, Bill Bass, is going to join us in a few minutes, and Bill is going to join us. He is the innovation coordinator at Parkway Schools in Missouri, and Bill also serves right now as the ISTE board president, and so I'm super proud of all the work that he's doing. So he's going to jump on in a few minutes too. Next, we have my good friend Alyssa. So Alyssa, why don't you introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, everybody. I'm Alyssa Malaspina. I'm the teacher librarian at Barona High School in Barona, New Jersey. I'm also the ISTE-U University Future Ready Librarians course instructor, and I am the New Jersey Future Ready Librarians Task Force chairperson. And you can find me on Twitter at Alyssa Malaspina, and I am always happy to answer any questions via my email that is right there for you.
Thanks, Alyssa. And now we have Nikki, another amazing friend of mine. So go ahead and introduce yourself, Nikki.
Hi, everyone. I'm Nikki Robertson. Currently, I am the project coordinator for digital learning at Region 13 in Texas. I'm the past president of the ISTE Librarians Network and a retired librarian, but still very much involved in libraries every day. So I'm excited to be here with you.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for joining us. And I'm really excited because this is just a great way to kick off the year. I know that I've been just searching and saving and tagging all kinds of tweets and posts on social media and just listening to what everybody's doing. And so I hope that we share a lot of great things that will be helpful to all of you too. If you have questions today, please post them on either Twitter, or you can even post them on Instagram if you have something that you want to share. We're always happy to help, and we'll try to also kind of keep track of it even during this hour, but we'll look back for sure after this to make sure that we get the information that you need or answer your question too. And if you want to share something awesome, we're always happy to share that with our community. I also wanted to just share our website, and I'll show you at the end of our time together today, has changed a little bit, but you can still find it at this URL. And again, you know, use the Future Ready Libs hashtag, but also tag things with the Future Ready hashtag. So it's not only us as librarians seeing all the great things we're doing, but so our administrators and our teachers and our families can see all of the great work that we're doing too as librarians. Now, when we look at our framework, this is something that we've had now, this is actually the fifth year for Future Ready, and this framework has been available for several years too. We've had some great changes over the last year, having literacy added to it. But I love looking at it all through the year, but especially this time of year when we're kicking off the year and we're thinking about all the ways that we're supporting our teachers and our kids when it comes to curriculum and instruction, and just getting back into advocating for what's happening in our library, if it's to literacy, to technology, how we're pushing technology and devices out to our kids. And so you'll hear a lot of just stories today and really great ideas on what we're doing in our library and hopefully some others too. I'm going to let Nick get from here.
Awesome. Thank you, Shannon. This is so exciting. So I have always been one who's super big on social media and being connected with social media, because you need to reach your audience. I mean, how many of us as parents go out to our school library website where our child goes to school? Not many. I do because I stalk libraries with my grandchildren and I want to see what's happening there. But the general public, your parents aren't going to go there. Where are they always? Where can you reach them? On their devices and through the social media that they use. So definitely utilize Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and even with our students using Instagram and Snapchat. So the way I lay it out, and your population may be different, I usually find my parents the most on Facebook. I know I've gotten lots of responses from parents on Facebook. I set up a Facebook account for my school library, not me personally, and post pictures on there and announcements about what's happening. And by doing that, I have actually been able to get donations from parents for the library, volunteers, and they feel more connected to the library and actually realize what an integral part the library plays in the overall school environment. Twitter, again, is another place you can reach your parents. For some of your younger parents, especially if you're in like a K-5 school or a elementary school, you're going to get the younger parents that are also your Instagrammers and using Instagram. So don't forget about that. Then if you're in secondary grades, using Instagram and Snapchat with your students is meeting them where they are. So not only can you share out the exciting things happening in your library, you can also build those relationships by helping kids pick out books, letting them know about future activities coming up, how you can help them with their research or other things like that. And so being that person that's there and connected with those kids in that way. And then I had the opportunity to attend a great Ed Camp type event in Austin, Texas, where Naomi Bates was the keynote speaker. And she was saying, you know, one of the most important things you can do as a future-ready librarian is building those relationships. Because if they don't like you, it doesn't matter how many wonderful books you have in the library, what your technology is, what programs you have going. If they don't like you, nothing you do is going to work. So building those relationships is important. And one suggestion she had is, you know how teachers have to stand outside the classroom and greet their students in the morning. Take that opportunity, if you can, if your schedule allows, and walk around and talk to the teachers while they're there at their doors. Don't start out by, you know, saying, oh, let me tell you how we can collaborate. But just start out with asking about how their kids are, their new pet, what's happening in their lives, and build that relationship. And then you can work up to talking about collaborations.
So, Nikki, you are so right. It is incredibly important to build those relationships and have that social media, that presence on social media. All of those things are incredibly important. I'm talking a little about something that's really simple and easy to do, and I got this idea from our Future Ready Librarians Facebook group. I'm new this year to my school, so my biggest thing this year is trying to build those relationships with those teachers and students. So I thought, let me give them candy, because everybody loved candy. So what did I do today? In every teacher's mailbox and every person that works in the school is this little card here and some Wintergreen Lifesavers. It's a great and easy way to just let them know you are, you know, you want to collaborate with them, and, you know, and also give them a little bit of a treat. Also, another thing that's really great to do is make an introductory video, especially if you are new to the school. So I made mine via Adobe Spark, and it's just some pictures of me and my family, and there's just a little information about me, who I am, where I came from, and what I like to do, so that the parents and teachers and everybody can get to meet me. And I'm taking that and I'm putting it into a s'more that I'm making to send to all my staff. And I put the video right there on my website so that the students can see it too. Because yes, parents are going to Google you. They want to know about you. So make a little introductory video. It takes 2 minutes.
So Alyssa, real quick before I talk about this, that when you talked about that, it brought this to mind. But if you're a Flipgrid-er, if you know about Flipgrid, they now have the QR codes. And what yep. I've seen happening is that you can make that intro video, put it on the QR code and stick it up outside your library. And then when parents are coming for like meet the teacher night, they can scan that and learn more about you in the library too. So really cool. I love that you did that.
Now you gave me an idea.
You're the best. I know, we all are. Okay, so let's get back on track. So Future Ready librarians meet teachers where they are. And so developing personalized learning has been really one of my focuses when I was in the library. Because if we think about with our kids when we're teaching them, we need to meet those kids where they are at the level that they are at. And so we need to give that same type of personalized learning to our teachers. So consider, you know, for whatever it is you're presenting, do I need to present this or would it work best in a large group, small group, departmental, one-on-one, a co-teaching situation, or rewindable PD where you make videos where teachers can learn on their own time and in their own place. One thing that I did at the last high school library I was in, if you see this little picture on the left-hand side, it shows where teachers could check out on the calendar their breakout EDU, or they could sign up to come check out books or come use the computers or use the green screen room, etc. And if you notice, my name is there, N. Robertson. They could actually come in on the calendar and check me out to come to their classrooms or for them to come to the library and for me to help either lead a lesson or to co-teach a lesson for them. And so I love the fact that they could actually check me out as a resource to use with their classes. And I think that's one way to really make yourself available. Also know, too, that some of your teachers are really, they're tech phobic and they're tech shy in the fact that if they don't feel that they understand a technology, they don't want to look stupid in front of everyone. And so you get a lot of resistance with trying to teach to a large group. So a lot of times what I will do is work one-on-one with those teachers, and they really appreciate that. And that helps with the relationship building. We can really talk, and I can dig into not only do they want to know how to use this particular tech tool, but why they want to use that. How does that support their curriculum? And then we might come to a whole different conclusion of what tech would work best for what unit they happen to be teaching at that time. One thing that I did do is I also make myself available anytime they need me. So I give out my cell phone number to all my teachers. And one time I had a PD set up about using Google Hangouts so that you could record your classes and have that information available in your learning management system, kind of like a tutorial, video tutorial for your students. Well, I got a call on a Sunday night from one of our teachers who was expecting, and she goes, I'm not going to be able to make it to your PD, and I really want to be able to make videos using Google Hangouts with my kids. Do you mind walking me through the PD now? And I was like, no problem at all. Let me do that for you, because I believe if they need that help, I need to be there to meet them when they need that assistance. So just some thoughts.
I totally agree with you. I give out my cell phone too. They have it. They have access to it. While we're talking about that, another fun way to do PD, because, you know, we can't always do PD. They're busy. They're at, you know, they have lunch duty. They have stuff before school. They have stuff after school, and we have other places to be. So I saw this idea somewhere, and I am going to be doing this with my my teachers this year. In the faculty bathrooms will be little signs that look like this, and it's called PD while you pee. And it talk, there's going to be different topics, and I'm going to switch them up every so often, but this one's on the Flipgrid QR code one, and I have different ones that I'll be putting up. And just while you're sitting there, you can scan it to learn more information and do a little bit of PD. Hey, you have to go anyway.
I love that. Very creative. I want to see what your teachers think. So last year, I was really lucky and I started teaching in the library with my partner, Jessica. And we're so lucky too, because we have taught with Diana Hockenberry, who has been in our library now for over 20 years at Van Meter. And so the three of us, we serve all of our kids. We're all in one building at Van Meter K-12 in our library and throughout the building. And so we're super, super lucky and think that we have quite the dream team. And when we kicked off just working as a group and making sure that all the teachers knew what we were doing, we did this idea where we saw a lot of ideas on the Future Ready Librarian Facebook page, and we made it into a movie theme where we put candy and we tied it up and we put little tickets on it, and we made sure that everyone knew what the teacher librarians could do for them. Because so many times when teachers, maybe they say, like, they don't collaborate, or they don't know that you're there to help them, or they don't know that you can help with even like books or reading advocacy. And there's so many things that you can do with your teachers when it comes to collaboration, but also with your students and your families too. So you want to make sure, just like Alyssa and Nikki said, you want to make sure that you are saying that and you're telling your story. And so this was a great way just to kick off the year. And we even left a little tab on the end that they could put a note to see how we could help them, what they needed. And so this was just a great way, by giving them these flyers and these tickets. And we even saw the flyers hanging up just in their classrooms, because they wanted to make sure that they knew all the ways that we could help. This year, I love what our related arts team did, and there's library and music and art, and also guidance or social emotional learning this year. And so the four related arts teachers, they got together and they made this great film, and then they went around to every classroom on the first day, so every classroom K-5, and they showed this fun little video, and they used Bitmojis, and they had real video, and they even had our principal in there doing like this stunt, which was awesome and got their attention too. But it was just a good way to establish like not only what they were going to be doing in these classes, but just to establish as a team kind of the rules and guidelines of when they would be coming for related arts. And so I absolutely love this. When we share these slides afterwards, the link will be in here, and I shared it on my blog too this week. And I know that they would love it and be honored if you even borrowed this idea. And so I really, really like what Jessica and the Related Arts team did. I thought that was so great. Another thing is, I can't, just like Nikki was saying in the beginning about Naomi when she heard her speak, like, I can't emphasize enough the importance of using social media to share what is happening. And at the beginning of the year, just sharing things on our Facebook page or sharing it on our Instagram and our Twitter, it's not only for like the community that we have as librarians, it's for the community that we have built and we're building within our library and our school. And so sharing these things and just keeping parents in the loop from the very beginning, even before school starts, makes a huge difference, not only for what happens within the library, but share the stories too of what is happening within your school. One thing that we have done, and I wanted to mention this because Follett is one of our great sponsors for Future Ready Librarians and for the webinar today, is one thing that's been really exciting is kicking off the new e-fairs. And Follett now has a way, new way to do book orders. And we had so much fun kicking this off before school started last week with our teachers. We had a little party and we had giveaways and everybody signed up for e-fairs. But that was something that I, as the librarian and just working with them within our school, was able to help them and continue to help them, but a great way to get more books into the hands of our kids. But also with these e-fairs, everything that kids order, teachers get 50% back. And right now, when you sign up, you get $25 as a teacher. And so it's a huge incentive for teachers and for families just to get more books in multiple ways into the hands of our kids. And so that's something that I have even been sharing, you know, on social media, just so I make sure that they're paying attention for those things to come across Seesaw 2 at their houses.
Wow. This is one thing I love about getting to present and having a PLN, is because I get to learn all kinds of great new stuff as well. So thank you for sharing that, Shannon. I'm going to definitely share that out with the districts that I work with. So let's talk about that, connections, because with that e-service, with the e-book fair service, that's making connections in a whole different way with book fairs. And so you can also, as a future ready librarian, help your teachers make those real world connections. So this picture and the next picture is just one example of a real world connection that was made that I think just really transcends and what I see as the future of education can be. So what's taking place in this picture is you see there's three students there, and they are standing in front of the screens, and they're obviously doing a presentation. So going back in time just a little bit, this is an engineer teacher's class, and they had just purchased a new 3D imaging software where you could go in and build 3D images. Well, instead of sitting down and teaching his class step-by-step how to use that software, what he did is he connected with another engineering teacher in Michigan who also had the same software. And they decided, you know what, we're going to let the kids teach themselves and teach each other and go through and learn how to do this and build a project in the process, but together. So what that means is the three kids that are in this picture are kids in the class in Alabama. Also, and I know it's difficult to see, but up on the screen, this is using Google Hangouts, there's some thumbnails there, and the thumbnail shows the two kids from Michigan that are part of this whole five-member team. So together as five kids, they are on one team together working on one project together. So they are having to figure out, how can we communicate virtually, which is a big job skill that they're going to have if you think about the way that work is now. We operate by satellite. We even have telecommuting where I work, so we don't necessarily have to come into office. We telecommute and take care of all of our business and work and communicate with our coworkers through video conferencing type tools. And so this is what the kids were learning how to do. One of the big takeaways, and if you go ahead and let's go to the next slide, one thing that they had to do within their project is use that 3D software to create a putt-putt or mini golf course. And so they had to come up with everything from what the theme was going to be to learning how to use that software. And they had to communicate with each other and work on this project together virtually. At the end, they had to reflect on their work together as a group and how it was different than before and what they'd learned. And what they came away with was they need to be a lot better with time management, and they also need to learn how to communicate better and more clearly. And so I think this is great. And anytime you can get outside of the mold of your kids only working in groups with kids they happen to be sitting physically in class with, the better they're going to be prepared for college and future careers.
And one thing, just talking about like collaboration, and I just love seeing, like Nikki was showing, the kids collaborating and having it just be something like natural that they do. And just an extension, I always say, like, it's an extension of what's happening in your classroom, and being able to start this at a young age and having kids be comfortable with not only talking with their classmates, but talking with others too that are around the world. And one of my favorite things, and I love that this is at the beginning of the year, is Dot Day. And it's always around September 15th, and this year it falls on a Sunday. And so a lot of schools are celebrating in the week of September 16th. But if you're new to collaborating with others, like either on Skype in the classroom or other ways that we can connect, this is a good place to start because it can be as simple as sharing a book together to doing a great project. I know that Alyssa and I have done projects in the past, and it's been so fun because really the sky is the limit on how you are making these connections and just celebrating with the kids making their mark up in the world. And so I put a little bit.ly in here because there is a Google Doc that my friends Andy and Matthew started every year. So people have a place that they can connect, and already like dozens and dozens of people, classroom teachers and librarians, are connecting on here. So check it out so you can make some connections too. But, you know, celebrating from the very beginning of school year and getting our kids, you know, that it's something that we just do. That's how I always, you know, think about it in my head, that extension and that global connection and just them having also a global voice. This is also really helpful. This is just a Google Doc that we have, a Google Sheets, and it's something that we've had for years, and people just keep adding to it. And at the bottom, you can see there is a tab for every month. But it's really helpful because you can see what is happening in those months, and then you don't have to wonder like, oh, what could I do, you know, this month to connect? Are there any special events, and what are the resources? Again, this is an awesome thing to share when you're collaborating with your teachers because there is something for everyone there. And the same with Skype in the classroom. Skype in the classroom, there's some great upgrades coming up in the next few days or week. And I love this because now there are even more ways and it's even easier to make all kinds of global connections with other classrooms, with experts, with authors, and everything on here is free for us to use. And so get signed up, share this with your teachers too, because it is an awesome way to connect your kids globally.
One. So this one is a fun one. I'm getting a lot of new books into the library, and I wanted to figure out a way to highlight the new books that I had. And, you know, we always do a book display and all of that, but my new library has screens in it. And so I thought, why don't I make a Adobe Spark with all the book covers, and they're done by genre. And it just shows pictures of all the books available. And you know that if it just is playing over and over again, because you can do that, you can in YouTube have it play over and over again, it's a more likelihood that the kids will check out the books. And so I decided to spend some time, and it did take a little bit of time, but I put all of our new books into a nice little Adobe Spark for everybody to be available. And it's on my website so they can watch it too and sort of see what's coming for the library.
I love that idea. And Adobe Spark, just a little FYI, everybody, is free for everyone, yes. Free for education. So it's my new favorite thing because I love the app. Another thing that we're doing at Van Meter is our library. We wanted to get our library outside of the walls of our library into our hallways and into our collaborative spaces even more at Van Meter. And because we're a K-12 school, we wanted to think about this creatively so we could do it for not only our elementary kids, but our secondary too. And so we decided to start 4 little library branches. And it was so fun to see them at the end of last year kind of popping up and getting kids' input on what to name them and rules we might have and guidelines. And so the ones with Diana that have been now filled with books, these will be something that these books will tie especially into what is happening in our classrooms. And so kind of an extension from the library, but also supplementing their classroom libraries, but having them out in the hallway so kids can also see them and check them out, and teachers know even more of these great resources, and they don't just sit in the library. We make sure that they're there. So that was really fun to kick off. And then in our high school, in our big collaboration space upstairs, we started a library lounge. And this is a place that kids can come and they can check out books by themselves, and they can write down, for now, we have iPads coming in these spaces that they'll be able to use Destiny, but they can write down what they want to check out, and we have signage around the school. And it has been so fun in the last few days just to hear how excited the kids are. And I think just to see them take ownership of, you know, part of our library has been just really fun to see. And I think we're going to see a lot more reading. And it's been, you know, just great when it comes to not only seeing what the kids think, but the teachers as well. Another thing that we're making sure that we're doing is I have been visiting classrooms all throughout the week, and I want to get into the classrooms because I want to just kick off the year. This is only our third full day of school, but I want to kick it off by them knowing about the resources in the library. And I visit the classrooms for about 15, 20 minutes. I make sure that they're all set up in their Destiny accounts and that they know the resources that we have through our state and through our school. And it's been so fun because they love this, and they, you know, a whole summer they kind of forget the things that we have. And so making sure that I'm helping them sign up for things like Epic, and I'm making sure that they're on, you know, Pebble Go and all these great things that we have. But then on the other side, it just shows our bookmarks, and we make sure that the kids take the bookmarks home and put them in a safe place so they can get to the resources that they need at home too. And so this is something that every year I make sure that I do, just so we make sure that we're advocating for, you know, the resources and making sure that the kids have these things to be successful and to help their reading too.
So I decided to start something new this year, and I sort of taken it from the like word of the day that other people have done, or they've had a dictionary out and done something like this. I'm moving to a high school. Our kids need to know vocabulary words and ACT and SAT words and all of that. So I decided to sort of change it up a little and do the ACT / SAT word of the day. Now you can, like, there is a, I'll tweet it out because I'm not remembering off the top of the head the website, but they will send you a word of a day to your phone and with the definition. So I'm just taking this and making a word and a definition and then having a contest. So the kids will have the word, they'll have the definition, but then they need to use the word in a sentence. And every month at the end of the month, I'm going to draw one of the people who have, you know, done it correctly, and they will be entered into a prize. And I've gotten some donations of books and other things, and I'm just going to make it so that we have a little prize, but they're also gaining some knowledge. And we're making vocabulary, SAT, ACT, vocab fun, which is, you know, not always the most fun thing.
I love that idea.
All right, so we've talked a lot about collaboration. And again, I can't say enough about collaboration, but making sure, this is a picture of me working with one of our assistant principals and making sure that you bring them into the collaboration as well, so they know that it's not just something that you do in the library, that you're collaborating with teachers, but you also can play an integral part with collaborating with your administrators and helping to develop professional development and other things that need to be done to help support the vision, mission, and goals of the school. And then make sure that you advocate. Advocate. So putting stuff out on social media, connecting with people, providing that just-in-time PD for your teachers, connecting with your administrators, all of those are ways to advocate, not just speaking up when something doesn't go right, but making sure that throughout all your daily actions, you're advocating and demonstrating and modeling why a library is so important to the overall school.
Well, and I can't say that enough, that collaboration piece. And that's when I think we can truly make a giant impact in our schools as Future Ready librarians. And I know when I first started, this is my 13th year now that I have been in the library or been in education. And it's been, at first, you know, I just thought, oh, they're just going to collaborate with me and it's going to be super simple and I know everybody. And that isn't always the case. You have to work at collaboration. And one thing that's been super helpful to me is just having this calendar. And I started this and I have a lot of support from like my administrators and other teachers, because we want to make sure that people use this and the teachers can fill out what they're doing. We don't have to do that. We want the teachers to empower them to fill this out, so we have a chance to know what's happening in their classroom so we can collaborate with them. This year, I even added to the top of ours that special events calendar. And so those different things that I showed you a couple slides ago in that calendar, I added them to the top, so then we can glance at this and we can see what is happening then throughout the year, like things like Dot Day or Global Read Aloud starts. And it's just really helpful when everything's there. There are links in these slides that you can make a copy for yourself if you're working with elementary or secondary students. And so please feel free to share those. Another thing that we do is just constantly push out like how we can collaborate. If it is, you know, a time that we have, maybe we have a couple weeks time, like right now, this time of year is a great time to collaborate for me because I'm not super busy with a lot of projects right now. And so I want to make sure that I'm getting into the classrooms. And so simply sharing something in a Google Doc and giving them a space to sign up. Another thing, one of the best things that I did last year, and I love it because it's following us now again this year, is our Google Classroom that we created for our library and just like resources for technology use. And this is something that I shared with all of the teachers. And I try to share something on here several times a week. And I know that you guys all understand that we share, you know, things like emails and sometimes they're not read or people say that we share too much. And it's even confusing for us sometimes on what we've shared and when we shared it. So in this Google Classroom, it's great because you can share anything and you can also keep the topics nice and organized. So now I can go back and I've used this for a whole year and say it's Dot Day coming up. I can reshare that and I don't have to, number one, reinvent the wheel, and I can point then teachers to those resources too. Another
thing sorry, Shan, I wanted to just say that I've also done that. I always have a Google Classroom up for my kids. Anything that I share when I am teaching with them goes in the Google Classroom, and I also put announcements too. Because remember, and this is something that you didn't talk about but is so important, is that the Google Classroom, parents will get a note sent home if the kids are in the classroom telling what's going on. So it's an easy way for you to communicate with parents.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I love it because everybody is in one spot. And so just a great, great way. And another thing that we do is just having little pop-up PDs, and a great way to kind of kick off collaboration with different things. When we rolled out Collections by Destiny last year, we had a little pop-up PD and we made sure that all the teachers understood these. And this is another great thing, you know, to continually share. But we have a collection made of resources for every event, for every main topic of technology we're sharing, for our literacy resources. And we make sure that we're sharing these, you know, not only at things like pop-up PD, but even in the Google Classroom. Another thing that we did this week is, this is the presentation that I've been using when I've been going to the classrooms and just showing the kids the resources. And we did share this with the kids in their Google Classroom. And like Alyssa said, we also shared it with our parents in their Seesaw. And so all of the parents, all of the kids know the websites and resources that they'll need to be successful. And I even made QR codes for them because our kids can bring their own devices to school. And so they were able to download these things that they needed onto their own devices and our school devices. But again, also sharing them with the families so they have success for their kids at home too. And again, just back to that Google Classroom, one of the best ways to be able to share resources.
Totally agree with you. So Another way we have to do, and it's not on the little wedges, but it is something that I think is so important, and it goes back to having those connections. A future ready librarian has to have fun. They need to make things fun for the kids so that they want to come in. When the kids come back to visit you, because I have had many kids come back, they don't come back and are like, Miss Malaspina, I am so thankful because you taught me this lesson. No, they come back to tell me about, like, I miss you because you were so much fun, and you are, much more fun than my other librarian is sometimes what I hear. Or that, we just had a lot of fun in the library and you made us feel comfortable. You have to learn how to have fun with these kids because the library is their sanctuary. So something that I'm doing this year is I'm having fun with signage. When I was the supervisor, I never wanted to see a library that had no signs. You should have no signs in your library that start with no in them. Everything needs to be positive and fun for the kids. And how do we do that? Because you don't want to walk into a space where everything is no food, no drink, no, clean up after yourself, all of those things. No, you want them to have fun. So what I've done is an easy way to do that is to have fun with signage. So Bitmojis, which I'll talk about in another minute, are my friend. So like those are my passes that are going out with the kids. So Miss Malaspina misses me. I'm on my way back to the library. That can now be your nurse pass, your pass to every place. I'm allowing food and drink in my library. We have a little cafe, but I want to remind them to clean up after themselves. So how do I do that in a fun way? I saw this when I was at somebody else's library and I just have sort of made it my own. So Dobie the house elf is not here. So please clean up after yourself. Quick, fun reminder to just do that, but it's in a fun way. And then, I'm missing out on library opportunities. Another fun way, we all need to do library orientation. Library orientation, I'm going to be honest with you, is my least favorite lesson of the year because it's boring. And there's no easy way to make it not boring. It usually is. It really is. Like, here are the rules. Here's where the books are. So I was looking for something fun. Go on to the Future Ready Librarians Facebook page. What do I find? Oh, Tiffany saved me. She had written this blog about back to school with Goose Chase. And I was like, the light bulb went off. Oh my God, I can do a goose chase with these kids and have it so that library orientation is fun. Put lots of fun things in there. They get to understand the rules. They get to figure out where different things are. They're in groups, so they're working with new kids. And we have fun in the orientation. Only thing I'm trying to figure out right now is how to do it with, because the free version only has 3 teams. So, I'm looking for ways to make that work. But on the whole, I think that this is going to be so much fun and a much different way to do orientation. You can either do it with Goose Chase. I've heard people are doing it with Flipgrid, but just have fun with your orientation.
Right. I love this idea too, Alyssa, with the Goose Chase. I've done scavenger hunts and also breakout EDUs. So there's lots of ways that you can really liven up that orientation. And that also, that's kind of the first impression kids have of a library is that orientation. And what a way to kick that off and have the kids think, wow, this is really an awesome library and I want to spend more time here. So I agree, having fun in the library and with your kids is really important. So there's some little things here. Basically, I don't think you need to hear anything, but I love checking out and playing with new apps that I come across with the kids. And so in the middle of the little video here is where I'm testing out an app, a Star Wars app, and I don't know if Shannon can click on that and have it play. It's just a tiny little video.
I'm a little nervous too. I haven't tested it in here. Should I try?
Try and see if it breaks the whole thing down.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to.
Fingers crossed. Breathe. Is it going to work? And then, of course, you know, right? And so then you plug that thing in and show it on your, project it up where all the kids can see it. And then they're all like, oh, coming up with scenarios and stories of what they can do to go along with that. Green screen fun. And again, you see the little boy on the right hand side. This was during Christmas time, and we were taking turns taking pictures of everybody with the different types of Christmas gear on. They got to pick out what they wanted. And then down in the bottom left hand corner, having fun with a virtual reality. So any way that you can tie that technology in and have it be something fun, then once the kids know how to use it, you can start to discuss, okay, well, yeah, that was fun to play with. How could we use this to support what you're learning in the classroom? And so that's a great tie-in.
Well, and one thing that I always try to encourage, like the teachers at our school and others when I work with teacher librarians and educators around the country, is to, sometimes I think we get so hung up on like, oh, we have all these things to do at the beginning of the year and we don't have time yet to integrate technology or to use our resources. But I say like, just jump right in, because I think that makes a huge difference when you can have something that is like a kickoff project and you show the other teachers like it's going to be okay and we can do this together. And today on our third full day of school, my friend Tracy Ferguson, who teaches second grade, and I, we did a great collaborative project with Buncey and Capstone, and the kids created their own little Pebble Go research journals. And this is something that we kind of thought of yesterday. And now what has happened is all the other second grade sections, they want to do it too. And so when you have something at the beginning of the year that can be just a great highlight and something that can be kind of a model for other teachers, it's just a really great way to kick off the year, because you're going to get that buy-in from others, and not just with technology, but with collaboration too. And this picture really says it all. Tracy sent me this after school, and I think that it says it all, because we know that that's what our kids love to do. And so they were so excited to be using their Chromebooks and just jumping right into a cool project. And they're going to keep these little journals all year long on all the research that they're doing in Pebble Go. And so I just love that we decided to do that.
Okay, so again, we're getting together and having fun with people. And one thing that I love to do with my kids at the high school level, if you look on the right-hand side, you see the book Baghead. And what I would do is the special ed self-contained classes at the high school would come in once a week for a story time and an activity. And so I had my library aides get together, and we came up and we made different bag heads, and you can see there's me with my sunglasses on, and we just put on a whole production to go along with the story that we were reading. So we always tried to look for ways that we could have fun along with that story time. And then the other pictures are just different ways that we were having fun together in the library. You never know what's going to happen in the library. So again, taking those pictures and sharing out that it's about connections, fun, and learning in the library.
You have to continually document what you're doing in your library. You should be taking pictures almost every day of what's going on in your library. I have had so many administrators say to me, I don't need to come see you because I know what's going on in your library. You're tweeting it out. So Bitmojis are your friend. If you do not have a Bitmoji, get one. It is simple to do. There is a nice little extension in Google, and you can put them like in your Chrome, and you can put them on everything. I like it. I put them in presentations I'm giving, and I put them on signage. They're just a lot of fun, and it's a way to like personalize at your what you're doing with your kids.
And then another thing that we do was to make sure that we use our little Bitmoji. We made these little fun reading posters of what I am reading. But one thing that we're doing is taking them one step further and adding little book talks to our books with the new Flipgrid AR. And so now in every Flipgrid video, just like the girl said in the beginning, there's some great updates this summer. And I love now how you can add a little AR video really quickly and easily just to your posters as well. So now I'm really excited. I get to introduce my friend Bill officially, and Bill Bass is now joining us, and he's going to take over from here.
Well, hello, everyone. Thanks so much for your patience as I arrive late. One of the things that I think about, so in my role, I'm a district administrator, and I work with all of our librarians, and I work with all of our teachers, but the library program, I lead our library program, but I certainly don't run our library program. Our library program is run by our librarians, and essentially they tell me what to do. And that works out really well because they're in it. But one of the things that I always encourage my librarians, and I would encourage everybody today to think about, is just the fact that we are, that things continue to change. And everything that you've heard so far is really about engaging kids, engaging teachers, and tip around that. Well, the tips that I have for you is to recognize that that shift does happen, right? I mean, we are in this time of change, and we're always going to be in this time of change. And so I would encourage you to think about, you know, like your work as always being in beta and always being this a work in progress, and recognizing that one of the things that in the library you have such a broad reach. And so, Shannon, if you can go ahead to the next slide, your reach in your schools is broader than everybody else's in your building, including your principals and including any administrator that might come in or a coach or anything like that, because you touch all kids in different ways. You have such a broad reach. And what that means is, if you go to the next slide, that you really have to think about, and this is a great time to think about this, what is your influence on your building? Like, how are you going about influencing your building in the long term? And that can happen in many ways. And as an administrator, I look for my librarians to be that person who is going to influence all of our buildings. And I think that broad reach gives you the ability to do that, but only if, you know, I heard folks talking, everybody on here was talking about, you know, like how you collaborate and how you bring your teachers together and how you find opportunities and ultimately how you tell your story. Because if you don't tell your story, somebody else is going to. Well, that's the influence you have on your building, and you have to embrace that and recognize that you are always in beta. So there's lots of ways to do that. So if we move to the next slide, one of the biggest things that I look to all of our librarians for, and it takes a mindset around this, is just leading innovation and taking the opportunities that are there. Don't wait for somebody to come to you, but like as a future ready librarian, really look for opportunities to lead and lead through where you are in your library, because that leadership is so needed right now in education. And if we move on to the next slide, one of the things that a lot of librarians are being, you know, asked to do is this, the technology piece. And I am a huge proponent for technology. I mean, it is what I have built most of my career on. But that, just because technology is involved, doesn't mean we're being innovative. What that means is that we're using technology. And so that innovation piece, leading innovation and modeling innovation, both for teachers, for students, for parents, for your community, for your administrators, everyone who's involved in that, that innovative piece becomes the real story behind the library, because it's a unique space, libraries are. And as we think about the changing, you know, always being in beta and the changing way that we are using the information and the world now, it's such an important piece, that innovative piece. So my next slide really has, it has three components to it. So the first component is really, you know, I encourage you to be a force for change, to really take that and look for opportunities to be a force for change. The second piece is to really be a champion, and be a champion for kids, be a champion for your program, be a champion for your school and for a community. You have a voice that is different than every other person's in your school. And that's one of the things that you can bring to your school, and that's part of your influence on the building. The third piece that is there is something that we talk about a lot in schools, and that has to do with equity. And you are, again, in a unique position to lead through equity, to find and seek out intentionally opportunities for to provide kids with experiences that are going to shape them as people in years to come. So those are three challenges that I would issue to you as you start this school year. It's just force for change, be a champion, and then lead through equity. So if we move on, one of the traps that we often run into as librarians is, you know, there's never enough time, right? But what I continue to think about with that is, you know, like, just because you're busy does not mean you're being impactful. Just because your library is full does not mean you're being impactful. So what are the things that you know, it's important to say yes to things, and I want you all to say yes to as many things as you can. But it also means that you have to make choices, and you have to say no to really good things, because you want to make that impact, and you want to be the one who is supporting teachers in whatever they're doing. But sometimes what that means, if we go to the next slide, is that you have to essentially come up and be thoughtfully abrasive. And what that means is you have to say the things that are going to push people. You have to say the things that are going to challenge thinking sometimes. And you have to say the things that are going to make change in your school for the best for kids. And that's one of the roles of, in my mind, one of the most important things that a future-ready librarian can do is to be that thoughtfully abrasive person. That doesn't mean you're going around irritating people all the time. What it means is that you question the things that need questioned, and you know when to question them and when not to. Okay, so it's a balance, and you have to be strategic about it. But being thoughtfully abrasive, don't just be abrasive. It's the thoughtful part that's really important. But if you are thoughtfully abrasive, what you can do is you can change the lives of kids. And that is in your role as a librarian, and especially as a future-ready librarian, take everything that you've heard on this webinar and recognize that those are the steps in order to get to changing kids' lives and giving them a leg up for whatever's next for them. So I just, as I look at it as an administrator, I think that there's such an important piece with that. And so I thank you for that time and listening to an administrator. So thanks.
Yeah, thanks for that input too, because it always helps us, I think, to listen to the voice of administrators and to remember that there are super supportive administrators out there. And again, we need to make sure that we're sharing with them the things that we're doing, the things that we need, and the things that we want to do, because that's truly going to make a difference. So thanks, Bill, for sharing all those things. And I just wanted to share just a few important keys at the very end of this, just so we're ready this year to really be future ready and to embrace and have the resources that we need to. One thing that I wanted to share right in the beginning are the institutes that we have coming up. And these are 2-day free institutes. We have 6 of them this fall. They start actually in just a couple of weeks in Nashville. And Mark and I are the ones that represent Future Ready Librarians. And so we hope to see you at one of these. But you can go to the Future Ready page and you can sign up for these. And we really encourage you to bring a team. And this is a great place to, you know, to bring your leaders and the teachers and the people that you're collaborating with as well. Also, ISTEU has a great course that actually Mark and I worked on it, and Alyssa is the one who teaches it, and it's called Exploring Future Ready Librarianship. And this is a self-paced course that is about 15 hours, and it's great because it's for K-12 librarians who are really ready to take that next step as Future Ready Librarians. And so you can go to this link. There's a link in this slide, and you can find out more information. But also you can visit the ISTEU FRL course page for more information and to enroll. Just a reminder too, the enrollment for the fall session is open until October 21st. And so please check that out, because it's just a really great course. And I think that the people that I have been hearing, the feedback is just wonderful, and they're learning a lot and really embracing their journey as future ready librarians.
Also, all the feedback I've been getting is great on it. Yeah. It's a great course.
Yeah, I love it. And the Future Ready Schools page has had an update. And so, of course, ours is Future Ready Librarians has had a little update too. And so you can go there and check it out. And on there, there's lots of great information that you can go, and if you're looking maybe for research or articles or links, maybe you're focusing on designing collaborative spaces this year, you can go either to the Symbaloo or the collections that we've created, and even a Padlet, to be able to find lots of resources that we're sharing and that others are sharing as well. And so it's really, I think, so helpful to be able to go here and find articles or ideas, just like what we get from the Future Ready Librarian page and by following the hashtag. Also, please sign up for the Fueling Future Ready Librarians S'more. This is a great way just to stay connected and informed. And once you go here for the first time on a S'more, as in any S'more, you can sign up. And then when there are updates made, then you get that update really easy. If you don't follow the Future Ready Librarians Facebook page, I highly recommend that you do. It is a wealth of information every day. And I love it because I can go and I can search in the group, maybe if I've seen an idea in the past, or I want to know what people are doing for a certain activity or for certain focus in their library, I can search the group. And also I can even save things. And so I have lots of things saved that I go back to, but it's just a really great place and a great community to be. And I love how everyone is so supportive, and it's a good time of the year to be supportive, because I think we all need that as well. And also on Instagram and Twitter, now on Instagram, you can follow hashtags. And so if you search for Future Ready Libs, you can follow that. One of my favorite things to do is to follow what everybody's doing just in pictures. It's a good, quick way to get ideas and get so many inspiration from others as well. And again, on Twitter, follow that. And like we've always done as librarians, follow TL Chat too. They're also on the page in Future Ready on the website. On our page as librarians, you can download these posters. And I highly recommend that you pin this up, and not only for yourself to look at it every day, but make sure that you advocate for yourself as a Future Ready librarian. Make sure that you're sharing your story and all the great things that you do, because that truly does make a difference. So we thank you for joining us. This was a fun hour, guys, and I know that I have so many ideas now, and I took a lot of notes, and please continue to share and continue this conversation, and we want to know what you're doing too in your library this year. We want to know the questions and how we can support each other. And so there will be another webinar next month, and then we'll have one again towards the end of the year. All of our webinars are available that you can watch them, and this is actually the third year of our webinar series, and so please check those out. And we are really thankful to the Alliance and to Follett for sponsoring these. So I thank you guys for coming, and I hope to see you all soon, friends. And keep sharing your ideas, because we really value the things that you're sharing too. So we'll see everybody soon, and take care and have a great school year.